Good morning, good evening, wherever you are, across the world and the universe. Welcome to my Quantum Living Podcast, at the intersection of science and spirituality. I'm your host, Anna Anderson. An inquisitive soul on a lifetime mission to find out how life really works. This podcast is about bringing the spiritual, metaphysical, and esoteric concepts down to the practical level, so that we can learn and apply them in our daily life to make it a little easier and raise our consciousness to the next level. Whether you are listening to this show while driving or commuting, doing chores around the house, relaxing on a couch, or flying in a spaceship across the galaxy, I hope you'll enjoy today's episode. Okay, let's begin. Hello and welcome back to Quantum Living. Today's episode departs from my usual guest interviews and explores the world of metaphysics and spirituality from a different perspective, which I hope you'll enjoy. From time to time, we like to dive behind the scenes of what is being presented to us so that we can better understand and appreciate the content we consume, enjoy, and learn from. And no, I'm not going to talk about myself and my podcast production. If you are interested, there are a few podcast interviews with me on the media page on my main business website. For this episode, I have invited the producers and hosts of another spiritual podcast, The Skeptic Metaphysicians, Will Rodriguez and Karen Ensley, a real-life husband and wife team who are the engine of this production. Going down memory lane, I first came across their podcast in 2021 and had Will as a guest on my show 3 years ago, almost to the date, as that episode was published on November 17, believe it or not, 2021. You can still find it on my podcast website in season 2 under the title Metaphysics 101. And I will also include a link to it in the show notes for this podcast. It was a fun and engaging conversation, I still remember, and I much enjoyed it, and we have kept in touch ever since. At that time, their podcast was in the early stages, I believe it was into the second year, and already showing significant growth and signs of success. The reason I have invited Will and Karen again to my show is revealed in this episode title, From Skeptics to Champions, which has three meanings I like to explore. We call champions those who have achieved an outstanding success in life, and also those who stand up for, support, and promote their cause, something or someone they understand well and are passionate about. And their progress from skeptics to champions also indicates personal growth. The success Will and Karen have achieved so far with their podcast is amazing and very impressive. And I don't get impressed easily, I might add. And I watched it grow from strength to strength over the years. It is now ranked in the top 1% globally in terms of popularity in its category. But that's only a part of the story. The podcast has strong following and engagement on social media, a membership option, and merchandise. And if that wasn't enough, Will and Karen have taken it to the next level of syndicating and broadcasting by creating an online TV network. And of course, we will talk about all that. And apart from their incredible business success, they are tireless champions of the metaphysical, spiritual, and life-changing topics and issues they want you, the listener, to know about. To quote their own intro, like Scully and Mulder from The X-Files, a skeptic metaphysician is caught between two worlds, the allure of life's mystical mysteries and the grounding force of scientific scrutiny. It's a quest to peel back the layers of the woo, seeking to find what's real, what's illusion, and what lies in the realm of endless possibilities. Hello, Will and Karen. Welcome to Quantum Living. Welcome back, Will, and welcome, Karen. It's such a pleasure to have you on my show.
The pleasure is absolutely ours. Thanks for having us on.
We're very happy to be here with you tonight.
Thank you so much for your time. Okay, now first things first. Let's get this out of the way. Do you emulate the X-Files, or are you the opposite? Who is the true pragmatist and who is a wonder-filled explorer?
That's an excellent question we ask ourselves on a very almost a daily basis. When we first started the show, I was very much, and I still am, quite the pragmatist, whereas Karen is a lot more open to the woo. It allows us to come to each topic from two different perspectives. So we have that going for us. But then also, what people don't know is that Karen, I do all the research and the prep for the interview. Karen comes into it completely cold. So she brings the audience's perspective to the interview as well. So it's two different perspectives in two different levels. And that's what we wanted to do. However, over the course of the last almost 4 years of doing the show, there was a time when we considered changing the name of the show because we don't really consider ourselves skeptics anymore. We have discovered enough to have convinced us that this is not pure journey speculation anymore. This is reality. We decided to keep the show name because now it's not us who are the skeptic metaphysicians, it's our audience. And so we're able to provide a pragmatic look into the topics so that our audience can find a way to wrap their minds around these esoteric concepts.
And also by having the two different viewpoints, it helps our audience feel more comfortable. It's like taking, you know, dipping their toes into the water a little bit without fully committing to be a believer or fully committing to be a skeptic. So they can kind of check it out and on their at their pace in a very comfortable, relaxed way.
Excellent. So you have turned the mirror around from yourself onto your audience, and you want to help them progress from being skeptics to metaphysicians. Very clever.
Thank you. Yeah. We feel we have benefited from the journey of discovery so much that we almost feel, not almost, we feel privileged to have found our way in our paths. And our goal has always been to try to present different paths for people to look into and see which one resonates with them. But now it's much more of a, hey, our tagline says it all. We used to be Metaphysics 101. We're now Awakened with Us. So we're hoping that we're coming on this journey together.
So that will be like Metaphysics
3.0, right?
What is it? 3.0.
Well, one of the things that we love about our audience and that we kind of strive to continue doing is as we're more involved in this space, we're realizing it's much more mainstream. And a lot of the people that aren't as involved as we are aren't aware of that yet. So they feel a little, you know, freaky when they're interested or when they're having experiences, they don't know how to handle it. So by hearing our podcast, we've been told time and time again that we're helping them feel normal. And that is that's wonderful for us because it is. This is everybody has these incredible gifts, whether or not you're realizing them or you believe in them. And just being able to not feel like you're the only one, I think, helps people to look into it more, to explore them.
Absolutely. And we will get to all this in a moment because it is your story and the story of your podcast is really fascinating. That's why, as I said, I really wanted to talk to you about it for the benefit of not only me and my podcast, but for the benefit of our audience, because it's really, as I said, amazing, and I mean it. Wonderful. So to set the scene for our chat, could you please tell us briefly, perhaps for those who may be not familiar with your podcast, about the inception / conception and birth of your podcast? I guess it's your little baby.
Mm-hmm. Sure is, yeah.
Now growing up, and its evolution to date, all the way to your brand new TV network. So what is the curriculum vitae of your podcast?
That's a mouthful. So bear with us because we do like to talk. That's why we have podcasts. by we, I mean me. So So the show started right when COVID hit. As soon as we started going into lockdown, I ended up having an existential crisis. I looked at myself in the mirror, did not like who I was at all. Found myself to be very judgmental, felt that I was very self-privileged. I don't know what the terms are, but I didn't like how I was. I had thought that I was a good person all along, and then when I was forced to look at myself in the mirror, I saw that I had been making decisions. I was angry all the time. I was very judgmental. I was very self-entitled, and I didn't like it. So I ended up leaving work for 8 weeks, taking a leave of absence to try to get my head on straight. And I, like many people during that time, went to a mental health professional. I was incredibly lucky to find one that understood the path that I needed. She started my meditation journey, my mindfulness and meditation journey, and was able to get me to open the door into these types of explorations, because psychotherapy is wonderful, but what I was going through was a deeper problem there. And so I found a book that I carried with me for many, many years that I resisted reading for a long time because of the word God that was on it. The name of the title of the book was Conversations with God. And for some reason, I ended up opening the book and starting to read it. And it moved me more than I had ever expected it to. In the mornings, I would wake up, I would meditate, and I would read a passage from the book. And then I would close the book and free associate into my phone these things that were coming up inside me. And then I would take those and put them up online as a podcast, for lack of a better word, as a way for me to put my affirmations out there. Well, over time, those affirmations became so personal. I mean, so personal and so revealing that I ended up taking them down because it was involving other people, and I didn't feel comfortable sharing of things in my life that were beyond me. So instead, back in my 20s, I was in a discovery phase as well that got me in contact with a lot of people in the space, Reiki practitioners and witches and psychics and past life regressionists and things like that. So what I did was I reached out to them, said, "Hey, I'm seeking again. I need to find myself again. Would you sit and have a conversation with me? And I'd like to record it and make it a podcast." And so I started having these interviews with folks, just having a dialogue very similar to what we're doing. And then I would record them and put them up on as a podcast as a substitute to what I had been doing before. The things I was doing, the affirmation I was sending out there, were private. I didn't promote them at all. I just put them out there for my own purposes. The show started the same way. These first interviews were for me. But then little by little, we started building an audience without really doing any kind of promotion on it, in which kind of clued me in that I was onto something. Fast forward to almost a year in, and then we had a couple who were friends of ours that we knew back in our younger days, who were going to be on the show. So I invited Karen to come on, because how much fun would it be to have two of us and two of them? And she came on as a co-host, and we had the best time. And I saw how that dynamic could actually make the show even better. So every once in a while, whenever I could coerce her, I would invite her to be a co-host, and she would come and be a co-host with me on a particular show, and the same dynamic would appear. We'd have so much fun that we just, after a while, it was obvious that it was a better show with her in there. However, I was doing everything myself, doing all the research. I was doing the interviews. I was doing the marketing. I was doing the editing, everything. And it was taking a lot of time away from my family. So there came a point where my mindset was in a better place. I had learned a lot. I'd found my way to a certain extent where I didn't find myself in crisis anymore. So Karen and I sat down and thought and felt that it was time to close the show, to sunset the show. It had run its course. Before we did that, Karen decided to, out of curiosity, just see if, let's Google the show and see if anything comes up. And I'll let Karen fill it in from there.
Yeah, so I went ahead and you know, put it in Google, and we were very surprised because we happened a website came up that had multiple pages of reviews of our show that we had no idea existed. And these weren't just like, you know, a couple stars or, you know, a word or two. They were all 5-star reviews, and they were all paragraphs that people had written about the show, very detailed, that they spent time. And we started to read through these, and they were talking about just how much the podcast had impacted them. One person said it was his source of daily inspiration, which,
wow.
We're just interviewing people. You know, we're not the experts in any of these fields. So we were very surprised to read that. And then, kind of alluding to what I said before, we found several people that said, thank you for helping me feel normal. And we thought, all right, if we're helping even one person to feel normal, we can't stop. So luckily, Will was able to find some software that cut his editing time in half. You know, I think when you're doing something for the right reasons, the universe will provide, right? So it provided this software so that we were able to continue with the show, but also get some of that family time back, you know, because that was very important to us. We're a very tight-knit family. So, yeah, so we were very surprised. And then it just kind of snowballed. We've had people ask us to come speak at events, which is shocking. And people that specifically bought tickets to the events to meet us are like, wow, how? you know, like I said, we're not the experts. We're just putting this information out there. We're helping people share their messages, share their experiences, talk about their modalities in the hopes that it'll resonate with someone. And we talk about so many different ones. We don't expect everything to resonate with everybody, but something might resonate with someone out there. And if it helps them to feel normal or makes them more interested, then we want to continue with that. And one of the best things about our experiences with these interviews is that all of the people are so kind, and they're all coming from the same place with the same general message. And it's all about love. It's about love. It's about community. It's about raising the vibrations. It's not competitive. It's not disparaging in any way, shape, or form. We have talked to people from hand analysts to people that have relationship with, you know, family of Bigfoot feet.
Sasquatch.
them. To, you know, mediums, channelers, you name it. And they all are, it's all about love. It really, truly is.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing.
Yeah. And over the course of the time that we're doing the show, we've learned some very, very simple lessons. And probably the biggest lesson is the joy of being in service. The more that you can be in service to others, the more the universe provides for you. So though the show started in a very selfish endeavor, it was for me to wrap my head on straight. It's become more of we're still learning ourselves, but this time we're keeping the bigger picture in mind, where we're not just learning for ourselves, we're learning for ourselves and all those who are looking, who are searching, who may or may not have found their path, but need something that will help them feel, like Karen said, normal. And to us, there's no better, no more noble purpose than to do that. And so we decided to expand all these messages that we're doing on the show, we're sharing on the show. We wanted to get them out as broadly as possible. And so we thought, if one show like ours can get the word out there about these kinds of messages and have this type of response, how much better would it be to unite with a lot of different people in the same space, to have a lot of different shows that are then amplifying all of those myriad messages out there, bring them all together under one roof, and let's all shout together, and hopefully we'll finally be able to be heard. Karen has a much nicer analogy for it, which I'll let her share with you.
Well, it's I think of more of a feminine quality of an analogy, where he likes to, you know, bring the voices together and scream into the void, where the way I think about it is everyone is holding up their little candle trying to shine some light. And our goal is to bring all of those candles together and just to create this big, beautiful beacon of light that people can see and enter and learn from.
So now talking about the new TV network that you are setting up.
Yes.
Syndicating various shows and podcasts and people working in the same space. Well, thank you so much for sharing. This is really a true personal journey of discovery. And clearly that initial idea had a grander purpose, which led you step by step by step to where we are today. And as I said, once again, the progress of your podcast and your work that I've been observing from a sideline, it's been really, really amazing and impressive.
Thank you.
You've sort of touched upon my next question, but just to streamline it a bit and focus a bit more, having been exposed to and working with so many topics in this field for the past 4 years or so, it must have had an impact on your spiritual and personal growth, both individually, as a couple, and a family. Could you please speak specifically, more specifically to this from the hindsight of the past 4 years?
On a personal level, I always thought I was pretty open and accepting and believing in all of these. And I didn't realize how much more I had become as far as accepting. And once we started doing this show, and I guess the best story I have about that is we had, like I mentioned, someone that wanted to be on our show, and he said he had a relationship with his family, and they were, you know, it was Bigfoot and his family. And I remember as a kid growing up, there was a television show called In Search Of, and they were always looking for Bigfoot. And it was like that. You'd see that one picture of the guy kind of standing, you know, sideways, like big and shady, and no one could ever find Bigfoot. So this guy wants to be on the show. And we're like, oh boy, this is going to be interesting. And then he sends us some recordings he has of Bigfoot's, you know, voice. And we're listening to him. We're like, this guy is sitting in his garage drinking a bunch of beer and just yodeling into the microphone. There is no way. I don't know how we're going to get through this interview. This is, you know, but we already committed, so we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. Well, throughout the interview, he explains to us how Bigfoot is not this creature that has been hidden so cleverly that no one's been able to find him for centuries, but he is, in fact, an interdimensional being. And
that pops in and out of, yes, out of this reality.
And much to my surprise, I was like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense.
That explains.
And I meant it. And I was like, wow. Right. The fact that I didn't believe he's an actual animal, but that's someone that hops through the, you know, the multiverse. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm growing a lot more than I realized.
And for me, it's been a complete shift. I'm a different person. Karen will say it way better than I could, but I literally am a different human being than I was 4 years ago when we started the show. I went from a very angry, judgmental, just, and I can title is the only word I can think of, to who was really out for himself, to now be more interested in. I'm a lot. Okay, let me put this.
You used to have to be right.
There we go.
Especially when it came to spirituality or religion,
right?
You know, it's like, how can those people believe that? That's ridiculous. Like, that was your mindset.
Yes, I'm a lot more open to other people's way of being or way of thinking, and I don't think that I have the answers. I know I don't have the answers, because if there's one thing that we've learned through these many, many interviews that we've done, is that as much as we know, we think we know, we don't know anything. We have a sliver of knowledge that it doesn't even come close to explaining what the real truth likely is.
And do we even know that the knowledge that we have is
true?
True,
right? I mean, we feel that it is true, because everyone has their own truth. Everyone has their own reality. And so for us, our reality is perfect the way it is, where someone who comes to us from a completely different perspective, at first I would go, what, how dumb can you be? You can't really think that. That's there's no way. Now it's much more of a, wow, okay, tell me more, because your reality is perfect for you. Certainly it's not for me, but as long as it's works for you, then that's, we're now saluting that. We're supporting that. That's a big difference in me that I didn't have 4 years ago. But I think the biggest reason to change, the biggest reason I'm happy to have changed, is because it's so much nicer to live from a place of love rather than come from a place of anger
or fear.
Or fear, right? I was very afraid of death for a long time, very afraid of death. Interview after interview with past life regressionists and near death experiencers and all that kind of stuff, I was always asking, how do you know for sure? How's that, you know, for sure? And then Karen said, you know, you might be right. My thought process was, as soon as we die, it's lights out. It's it. It's just blackness. We're no more. We just don't exist anymore. Where everyone was telling us the opposite, something completely different. So you live on beyond this life. And Karen was thinking that she believes the same thing. I couldn't wrap my head around it. How is that possible? Science has shown that, you know, it's just brain, your brain is firing at the time of death, and that's what you're seeing, and that's the colors and the tunnels and all that kind of stuff. So I was always looking for, like, how can I be sure? And Karen said, you could be right. We could die and light out. We no longer exist, and we'll never know any better when we do. But isn't it nicer to live life thinking or knowing that there is something else beyond this world? Anna, the fear evaporated immediately. It was a matter of a decision, a choice I made, a decision to say, yes, I prefer to live this way. It changed everything. And that moment is really one of the pivotal moments that has turned my life, changed my personality into who I am right now, because I choose to come at life, at people, from a place of love versus a place of anger or fear or jealousy or envy or anything like that.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. I'm really loving the story that you are both sharing, because it is inspirational for anyone that knows your podcast or doesn't know your podcast yet, perhaps are thinking of embarking on a similar project. And I will get to that in a moment. So yes, it's impressive, and it's deep. It's very personal. And what I find especially beautiful, and I have to say that this transpires, that this projects from your podcast, that love for all that is. And I expand the notion of love to acceptance. So acceptance, love, and basically, let's talk about it and let's see where this will take us. Let's go there. We may be right, we may be wrong, but you have this in your podcast, you have this aura of embracing the listener, the audience, with your love and acceptance and fun, and so lovely. You've had, obviously, a virtual smorgasbord of guests, hence interviews, across metaphysics, science, spirituality, life-enriching topics, and consciousness-expanding topics. Could you please share with us a few examples of some outstanding experiences you've had in your interviews, whether amazing, unusual, funny, mind-blowing, including bloopers, without naming names, if you like, if that's okay?
Oh, there's so much to talk about.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'll go first.
Yes, please.
One of my favorite ones, and I think you know what I'm going to talk about, is we interviewed a woman who was a medium. And typically, you know, like what we did today, you talk for a few minutes prior to the interview. This is kind of how it's going to go. Here's what to expect. And then we get started. We don't really discuss ourselves with the interviewee at all. It's just, you know, we're trying to get their story out.
Right. We're here to support them.
Yeah. So right before we start, she says to me, she said, your grandmother's here. And I said, oh, okay. And I didn't ask her any questions. We just went ahead and started the interview. Through the interview, we talked about what she does, her experiences, her work, et cetera. So we finished the interview. I never asked about my grandmother. And then Will says, I have to know, is she still here? And she said, yes, she's behind you. And she goes on to describe a woman who didn't sound that much. I mean, there were some things. I'm like, okay, that could potentially be her. Maybe, I don't know. And then she said, she has a message for you. So I'm like, oh boy, here we go. Because at this point, I'm thinking maybe she's not that accurate, because this lady doesn't really sound like my grandmother. And I'm thinking she's going to say, oh, your daughter's going to be fine, or just, you know, don't worry about your health, or something very generic. And she looks at me and she says, she wants you to know she likes your nails. Well, I instantly just start crying, and Will knew exactly, and she doesn't know why I'm crying. And I said, well, when I was a little girl, I used to go, one of my grandmothers is from Ecuador, and I used to go every summer to visit them and stay with them for 2 months. And my grandmother used to always get a manicure, and she got this very specific style that was popular in the late 70s called media luna, which means half moon. And about, I want to say maybe 10 years ago, I started doing my nails just like that as a tribute to my grandmother. Nobody knows this. It's not something I talk about. During the interview, she didn't see my hands. So the fact that she said, your grandmother, you know, wants you to know she likes your nails. Oh my gosh. It was like, she knows I'm doing this for her. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
I was oddly specific at a moment where we really could have used that message. It was perfect. Perfect
and
timing.
I don't know if you can see, but
that's nice.
Because of my grandmother.
Right. And did you leave this exchange on the recording on the podcast?
We had stopped recording before this happened. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've come to a realization that sometimes we probably should just tell them we stop recording and just continue, because so many wonderful things happen when we stop.
That's true.
But it wouldn't be fair for them not to know that we're recording. But yeah, it's you just never know when it's going to happen. Mm. On my side of things, there's so many interviews that we've done that have been so mind-blowing to me that it's hard to pick just one. I mean, everything from the reverse speech to the harmonic egg to breath work, things that we've done have been incredible. But I think the thing that really put me over the edge the most, that showed me the universe said, you want absolute proof? All right, buddy, here's something you cannot deny under any circumstances. And it really wasn't, it had to do with our show, but not really. It was peripherally. We were doing an interview with on location with somebody at she owns a metaphysical store, and we went to talk to her about spirituality. And as we're there setting up the equipment, there's a little nut that connects our microphones to the arms that is probably about the size of maybe a quarter, I would say. And as I'm screwing that on to the arm, Karen and I are both sitting as we are now. We're just sitting on a couch or love seat or something like that. When you're sitting down, if you can tell, your pants pockets collapse in on itself. So it's hard to get stuff into them unless you really shove things in there. So we're sitting here and I'm screwing in this nut. And as I'm doing that, it slips out of my hands and falls down, bounces on the carpet, and then whoop, and disappears.
Just vanished, like in thin air.
Vanishes. Okay, I'm glad I wasn't the only one who saw that, because I turned to Karen and said, where'd I go? And she thought, I don't know. So we were on our hands and knees on this carpet trying to find.
Because you needed it.
Yes, it's the only nut we had. We had to have it.
And it was a white carpet, so it'd be very easy to see, if something was there. Was
very obvious. We had the person we were interviewing, two people that were in the audience, the two of us were on our hands and knees looking for this nut. We couldn't find it anywhere. It's like, what the
furniture?
Heck?
I disassembled a rock fountain that was over in the corner, but just in case.
So we ended up having to do the interview holding the microphone because we couldn't find this thing. It had gone. It was vanished. It was nowhere to be found. So, okay, we just did the interview holding
the microphone arms. It's like this big thing.
With the microphone. And after it was done, I started packing things away, and we had an audience listening to the show at the time. And one of them came to us and said, I'm being told that I should tell you that you should look in your pockets. So, as I told you, we were sitting down. Our pockets are folded in on themselves. There's no way anything would get in there. Just to be nice, I said, okay, I'll go ahead and look. And I put my hands, one hand in each pocket, and I froze. My heart skipped a beat for a second, because when I pulled my hands out of my pocket, the nut was in my right hand pocket. And the only way that that nut could have gotten in my pocket is if I put it in there myself. And I guarantee you, I did not do such a thing. Karen saw the same thing as I did, where it fell, it bounced, and then vanished.
So and it was even in the wrong pocket. Like, it was in the pocket away from where it fell.
Correct. It was impossible. So on our way to the interview, I had been asking the universe, because I was having a little bit of a crisis of faith. I need absolute proof. I need you to show me that this is real, that I'm not just wasting my time here. I need to know for sure. Well, boy, did the universe ever give me, to this day, we cannot explain how that nut got in my pocket. Other than
everybody saw it fall.
Everybody
saw it. And we instantly went to look for it.
Yes.
It was just.
So.
There have been so many things.
And who told that person to tell you to look into your pocket?
Someone from the beyond.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that person was a medium or psychic or she was intuitive.
She was learning. She was one of the students of the person that we were interviewing. And I guess her spirit guides told her to tell me it needs to check his pockets.
And she told us, she had been getting this message before we started, but she felt too embarrassed. She's like, you know, I kept thinking I'm going to sound so foolish, but you know, I keep getting the message. So she waited till after the podcast.
Yeah. She could have saved me a lot of trouble.
True. Oh, wow. I'm loving it. That's a really, really great example. So what I'm curious about is, apart from, say, during your podcast recording, but in your life more broadly, have you noticed any increasing psychic experiences? So in other words, have your respective psychic abilities or your intuition, maybe put it this way, evolved or opened? Over those 4 years, have you noticed any greater sensitivity in your life by osmosis?
Yes. In a short answer, yes. However, the last...
It kind of goes like this.
Yes.
There was a time, probably about a year and a half ago, we were both just like getting the messages and seeing things, and it was
very
incredible.
Yeah.
Manifesting, just you name it. And then we have had a couple of years of a heck of a lot of stress, just things happening within our family, within our jobs, with our health, and it gets to you. And so, you know, I have not meditated near. I was every day, and now it's once in a while. And I keep telling myself I need to get back to it because I miss that feeling, that connection. But you have to work at it. It's like at anything, like you have to exercise, you have to eat right. And comes and goes.
the easiest thing in the world is to fall out of connection. Mm-hmm. And I shouldn't say, I mean, so what started the whole ball rolling down the hill is, I'm not sure if I mentioned this to you, but I was diagnosed with cancer 2 years ago, two and a half years ago. And when a doctor says that to you, suddenly you're faced with your own mortality and all bets are off. Things get crazy. Your mind goes to dark places, and it gets worse when a second doctor that you take for a second opinion confirms the diagnosis. That really set me on a spiral that I don't know that I've completely come back from. Before then, there was a point where I got a message from someone who had passed. That I said to Karen, I'm getting this message. I'm supposed to tell this person that their dad says this. And she's like, well, we kind of just started looking into these kinds of things. And well, how do you know? How's it feel? It's just different. It's not like me making it up. It's different. I just know. I'm not hearing it. I'm not seeing it. I just know things. Like, I know this message is meant to be for this person. And so we put it to the test. She said, okay, we'll sit down and you know, get a message and see if we can't ask for something that's going to be from this person that is going to be able to be
proven,
confirmed, right? Confirmed. So I said, okay, I don't know. I'm getting like a keystone thing. Like, I don't know. There was like a rock or a stone, a key inside of a stone or something underneath the foundations of a building the person that we're talking to, did they build their own house and put something in the foundations that was supposed to signify their union together? And she went and asked the person without revealing what it was I had said and got absolute confirmation. They had created this keystone that they put and in the foundations of the house that they were building as a testament of their building their lives together. And so that was confirmed. So I later on found that I guess I am somewhat clear cognizant, but I have to be very connected. I have to be very relaxed and I have to be very much in the moment. And when things like cancer pop up or layoffs from work pop up or
multiple layoffs,
child's health. I mean, there's just so many things. The 3D world is designed to get you off your game because it's not supposed to be easy. We're not here to take the easy road. We're here to evolve, and growth happens at the edges of our comfort zone. So the more comfortable you can be, uncomfortable, the more you grow. And everything that we're being thrown are things that are thrown in our paths that we are meant to overcome in order for us to evolve. And it's easy to just get derailed. And I'm ashamed to say that I have fallen off quite a bit, and I'm trying to find my way back there. And that's why I think what we talked about earlier on about being in service and doing things for others that in a roundabout way go towards serving us and our higher selves is so important, because it's helped us maintain that focus, that connection. We want to do this because we know it's the right thing, because we feel better by doing this. And by feeling better by doing this, doing the right thing for us, we're going to find our way back to that connection. That's our hope.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. I'd like to share at this point a couple of my own insights on what you have just said. Firstly, there's absolutely no shame in falling off the rail or your pathway. Because as you said, and you understand this, that the universe is throwing at us challenges, challenge after challenge after challenge. The key wisdom and the key truth about any challenge that we encounter, which many people don't realize, is that if you were not ready to conquer it, the universe would not have given it to you, period. So in other words, in every challenge, there is an embedded resolution and end to it. So if we can look at every challenge from the point of view that I clearly can overcome it, otherwise I wouldn't have been given this challenge, it gives us an edge. It gives us something we can hang on to, like a straw when you feel you are drowning. The straw is there and it was given to you for a reason. So that's just one observation. And secondly, and this is my own psychic insight, if you like, the first and the main key to getting back into your connection with the spirit, opening up your sixth sense, etc., there's just one thing that needs to be removed: stress. If we can eliminate stress, everything will fall into place. So whether you have the time to do your meditation twice a day or once a day or twice a week, doesn't matter, because the quicker and the more effectively you can eliminate stress from your system, and there are many ways to do this, this acts like a key that unlocks the door to the paranormal, psychic abilities, other dimensions, the world beyond the 3D reality. It is stress that keeps it locked in because of the, I won't go into, but of the many physiological effect on stress on our body and our mind. But in short, I was given this solution: stress. If you want to go back, if you feel like you've got disconnected a little or a lot, the first thing you need to look at is to remove stress from your life. And then things will start coming back again.
I knew there was a reason why I need to go to Tahiti.
What happened in Tahiti?
I need an over-the-water bungalow where there's nothing.
So he can relax.
So I can do nothing but just be. That would be perfect. That would remove all the stress. No, it makes perfect sense. It as stress came in, it shut down. So the challenge, the biggest challenge is that sometimes stress gets stuck, right? You've heard of PTSD and things like that. They're very recent, just a week ago, right? 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, we just got very devastating news about my career that was, it ended up working out fine. But at the time that we were,
like a month ago.
No, it was like 2 weeks ago. We were
in limbo.
And then, when they finally, we've got the deadline. Anyway, the act of having that hanging over your head, it's impossible to clear it. As much as I meditate, and I try to meditate every day, as much as I find myself continuously for the last 2 years, maybe 3 years, not able to relax my body enough. I will sit and I'll go into meditation and I will finally drop down into a complete relaxation, only to 30 seconds later check back in with my body and realize I've tensed up again immediately. I can't get myself to an extended period of time where I'm completely relaxed, not even when I'm sleeping.
I've got a good solution for you.
Oh, yes, I would love
which to. Which I recommend to, you know, my clients and people who find it difficult to relax in a sitting meditation. Walking meditation. The best place is on the beach, but could be anywhere in the park, in the forest, wherever you can walk for 15, 20 minutes, slowly or at your own pace, without thinking, without doing anything, talking to anyone, listening to anything, because the regular and rhythmic movement of your body is helping your mind to relax, where you can focus on just walking. It engages your body in a way that doesn't distract your mind. Walking.
Okay.
The main difference is that obviously when you're doing sitting meditation, you usually would close your eyes. When you do walking meditation, you need to keep your eyes open so that you don't walk, you know, straight into the sea and just keep walking. So I would recommend try walking meditation, 10, 15, 20 minutes, however. It's a beautiful exercise. So that would be my recommendation.
I think that's a beautiful recommendation. Mm-hmm. There's a place we go to that's a few hours away for a vacation. It's on the water. And inevitably, that's our peaceful place. Right? I'll have my coffee and I'll go sit and just look out over the waves in the morning. And Karen will walk. Yeah. So, yeah. Thanks for the reminder. Thank you.
Okay. After many years of working in this quantum spiritual metaphysical field, including with my own podcast, I noticed a vertical stagnation in the variety of topics and discoveries. While more people experience spiritual awakening, pursue esoteric practices, and study esoteric traditions, they tend to speak to pretty much the same topics and issues, often from very similar perspective. So the field is growing horizontally, if you like, getting broader, but I found myself waiting to hear something new, something exciting, something I didn't know and never heard of in this space, if you like, that I could bring it to my audience. So I'm curious, looking back at your interviews over those past 4 years and the myriad of various guests that you've had, do you experience a similar, what I call the topic fatigue? And also, have you noticed any specific trends or topics that are increasing in popularity or dying off, becoming a bit of a passé in the metaphysical world that people still want to talk about? So what is your sense of what's going on in the metaphysical world and people out there?
I think it's maturing in a pretty robust way. I do find, I don't want to speak for Karen, but I find that we do find people that are talking about very similar things sometimes. So we are surprised when, like a few weeks ago, we had one of the directors of the Aetherius Society on the show. I never heard of the Aetherius Society, and they're a group that back in the 70s, George King, their founder, was visited by an extraterrestrial and was given all this wisdom, and they formed a religion out of that. And it's all about love. And it's a beautiful message, but they go about it from a very different perspective, where Jesus and Buddha were avatars from the planet Mercury, for example. But he went on to clarify it's not Mercury that we know that is uninhabitable, but rather the vibrational level of Mercury, right? It's a very different way of looking at it. When at first it's like, they come from where? To what? Excuse me? What? So it was a little weird. But when you get beyond your skepticism and you open up to what's actually being spoken, sudden things hit you in a very unique way. And that was one that really surprised me. I would say, and correct me if I'm wrong, Karen, but one of the things, that the message that we keep getting over and over again recently the most is everything is happening exactly as it's supposed to for our own good, for our ultimate good. There was three, four, five guests whose message was that, like, at the end of it, like the root of the message was that repeatedly. And at the time, it was a message that me desperately needed, because we just mentioned we were going through this stressful time and we didn't know which direction we're going to head in. And we got the message loud and clear because it kept echoing, kept coming back to us again and again and again. Some of the things that we seem to be falling out of vogue, for lack of a better term, is some of the older topics like Reiki energy healing. Seems like everybody now is a Reiki energy healer or some sort of energy healer. So that is no longer this that it once was. Channelers also now.
So I disagree with channelers. I think it's more of a focus on it because more people are developing the ability to do that.
Yes.
And people are talking about it because they're channeling different beings and different entities. So I think it's kind of the hot topic right now.
But I think it's becoming more normal. Whereas before it was like this, it's weird, they're channeling this entity, this being, where we talk to certain people who they're just talking like you and I are talking to each other, but it's just, you're talking, an entity is talking through them. There's no shift, there's no change. The first few channelers we spoke to changed their entire demeanor, their way of speech, their accents, everything was different. But now as we talk to them, they're just having a conversation. It seems like...
But they're a little bit different.
Some of them are different.
I don't know that we've had anybody that you wouldn't know channeling.
The Galela Collective?
No, I think she sounds different.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you said it. Yeah. Okay.
Who wouldn't?
Will Caminata?
That last person?
No, that was Tony Gaza.
He was different. I think they're all a little different. Maybe he might be the only one that I would say, like, in just in my opinion.
Wow. See, we talked about realities being different. Her reality is different than mine.
And that's one thing that surprises people is that we don't agree on a lot of these things.
We don't.
Like, our spiritual beliefs are different. Mm-hmm. You know, people just assume that since we're married and, you know, been together for so long.
And doing the show together, we'd think the same. But we don't. But that's the beauty of it. We support each other's thoughts and realities, and we celebrate each other's differences because that's what makes us us. That's what makes us so in love after so many years of being together and being able to be, I hate to use the word tolerant, but unfortunately in this day and age, that's what there's so much intolerance in another's perspective. We are not only tolerant of each other's perspectives, we are celebratory of the differences of perspective, because then we learn from each other, or I learn from her.
You champion each other and you support each other's personal growth and development and spiritual growth. And if it is different, then that's okay. That's the beauty of it. So yeah, lovely.
Yeah. We truly, truly live the many paths, one truth thought process.
Mm.
We are 100% behind that. I think I last time I was on your show, I mentioned the story about the Mountain of Truth, which was my founding rock of spirituality. And it's all rooted in the differences that we don't, and none of us have a single complete truth. Only by putting all these truths together can we have a sliver of the truth. And inevitably, we're never, ever going to have the full truth until we transition. And the beauty, the wonder of this, the fun of it is in what is it? Tell me more, because I've never heard of that, or I never thought of it that way. And it doesn't mean it's going to change my perspective, but I'm fascinated that you would.
And it might make you understand someone else's perspective.
100%. 100%. Yeah. Someone's perspective, and you might be able to understand somebody's actions way better, because then, oh, okay.
Their reactions too.
Yeah. I don't have to agree with what you're saying, but I respect what you're saying, and I'm going to take a step back and allow you to live the way that you want to live, because it's the way it makes sense for you.
I tell you what, if every person on this planet had this attitude and thought this way, we wouldn't have wars. We wouldn't have conflicts. So, yeah.
And that is what we're trying to do here. We're trying to help get this thought process out to as many people as we can. And that's why this network that we're building is meant to do just that on a larger scale, because we can't, we're just a small little show. We're, you know, you mentioned at the top globally with top 1% of shows in our category, but that's a tiny, minute audience of this vast amount of people on this planet. So
7.5 billion or 8 billion soon.
There you go.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. We don't reach a million. Yeah. So we have a long way to go. So
long way to go.
Lovely. So now I'd like to talk actually about your podcast success. We know that there is no size fits all strategy for starting and growing a podcast. There are mainstream and niche podcasts. People have different budgets, different level of skill, one or two hosts, many followers on social media or none, etc. So there is a lot of variables. So I'd like to ask you, what have you learned as podcasters and now broadcasters about the art and craft of successful podcasting? So if there are people who are listening to this show and are thinking of starting similar podcast or maybe in a different category, what would you like to share with them from what you have learned? What's your secret juice? Secret juice of your podcast success. Could you just talk to us about your agony and ecstasy as podcasters?
Well, I think it's more like a bunch of different juices mixed together.
Okay.
But so for me, as a host, I would say what I've learned is what the audience responds to the most are two things. You have to be your authentic, genuine self. You can't try to be who you think they want you to be, because invariably you're not going to be that person that you're trying to be because you think that that's who they think you want you to be. This is way too hard, too confusing. You've just got to be you. People will love you or they'll hate you, but at least it's you. It's genuine. It's easy. You come to the microphone that same person every single time.
Right.
And then the second part about that, we have fun. You have to enjoy what you're doing. And we take our subject and our topics seriously, but we don't take ourselves seriously. We don't take each other seriously. We joke, we laugh. We invite the audience to laugh along with us, because when you're having fun and you're laughing, you retain a lot more than if you're just sitting there listening to someone that's kind of droning on and then you start thinking about your grocery list, you know. But if you're laughing and you're having a lot of fun, you're going to learn a lot more. So we invite the audience and our guests to laugh along with us.
Yeah. I think those are great. I think I would have said the same thing. Authenticity is the number one. People can see through authentic or through fakery, right? If you're putting on an act, people can tell. I think
Did you say fakery?
Fakery. Yes. That is a patented word, by the way.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah.
No one else can say fakery.
No, I'll collect my 50 cents later. On the production side of things, because I handle all the production of it, I think the key is consistency. We come from the television broadcast world, TV mm-hmm. production world, and if there's one thing that I've learned as a broadcast, I don't want to say executive because it sounds so lofty, but someone who builds.
I mean, you are an exec. It's okay.
Well, as someone who works in television and in this space specifically. We have found, research has found that audiences expect a sense of regular schedule, a predictability of schedule, that when you don't give it to them, the show suffers. Many, many shows have, in broadcast television, have changed time slots and have suffered and have had to be canceled because they have lost their audience because that predictability of schedule has fallen away. It's the same thing with podcasts. A lot of shows will do seasons. And as long as the audience realizes that, know that you're in seasons, then everyone's very accepting of that. But our show has been, there's no seasons. We just go. It's every week in, week out. They know every Wednesday they're going to have that when they first wake up in the morning, they're going to have a new episode downloaded onto their phone or their device, wherever they listen to us from. It builds a sense of safety, of expectations that come from a familiarity, right? So I think that has helped us a lot. But then also, we found that the more self-serving we are, the less well the show does. So the more that we have attuned ourselves to, rather than what's in it for us, what can we provide to everyone out there, the better that the show does. So those two things, well, three things really: authenticity, regularity, schedule, and honest purpose or reason for it, and true services to others. It's been a big help for us.
I'm going to add a half onto it, 3.5.
Okay.
Audio quality.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yes.
He's a stickler. And you can't feel bad about saying you're an executive. He's an incredible, incredible executive producer. I mean, super creative, just amazing leader of people. But yeah, he's really been a really good, he does all the tech stuff and he's a stickler. So the audio has to be good. It has to look good.
Yeah.
I'm lucky. I just get to show up.
But I'm waiting for opposite day.
You don't want that. That'll blow 1, 2, and 3 right out.
No, that's a very good point. If you're a celebrity, then people will forgive a lot. We are not celebrities. Nowhere near are we celebrities. So people there are 100,000 shows like us out there. So we have to give a reason. We have to show our best face forward at all times. Otherwise, why would someone listen to us? Right? So we try to give everyone a reason to listen to the show and give them as few reasons to leave as possible. Like Karen said, we're not for everybody, right? Some people don't like, they don't take to our whimsical way of being. They prefer a much more serious delivery of content, and that's wonderful for them. It doesn't work with us. So if you're not up for this fun, kind of like, ooh, kind of, thing we do, then we won't be for you, and that's perfectly okay.
Perfectly fine.
But folks that are our tribe will resonate and will find us, and we grow together. And the best way to do that is to give them as few reasons to unsubscribe as possible. And audio quality is a big thing, because I'm as a big listener of podcasts, the minute I hear someone talking from across a room like this, where you get a lot of reverb and echo, that's the first time I unsubscribe, or maybe not unsubscribe.
Man, you're harsh.
I do. I am. I know.
Wow.
I give him a pass. To be fair, I won't unsubscribe. I'll just won't listen to that show.
Okay.
But
if it happens again and again, you probably will unsubscribe.
Yes, exactly. If the host doesn't have good audio quality, yeah, then that's something that the host can control. Sometimes, having your own show, sometimes you can't control the audio quality of your guests. You do what you can to try to mitigate as much as possible. But inevitably, some people will come on without an external microphone. So you do what you can. But if the host doesn't...
And it's killing you in post-production to fix it.
Yes. And I do clean up a lot in post-production. But it starts sounding weird. But if the host doesn't have clean audio, then it just shows me that it's not the right fit for me. Because there's so many folks out there that have the same messages that I just, for my ear, I just rather listen to someone with a microphone.
Yes, yes. Or when an audio is scratchy, or the guest is speaking on the phone and there's a very poor signal. Mm-hmm. And I'm the same. If I need to strain to actually hear and listen to the recording, yeah, I disengage from the conversation, mm-hmm, because I'm putting in too much effort into actually listening.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep, exactly. And I should say that this entire conversation, I've been saying something, and I just find myself very judgmental about audio quality in other people's shows. So it shows you how much more I yet have to learn. So 4 more years, here we come.
Okay, guys, lovely. So now, would you like to tell us how people can pitch guesting on your podcast, apply to join Ethereal, your new brand new TV network, which you might wish to tell us a bit more about, and generally contact you? And of course, I will include all the links in the show notes. And is there by any chance a book in the making? An off-field question.
Did you spill the beans?
I did not. Maybe.
I'm psychic, so...
Well, okay. So that's a lot.
So how can they find out? Yeah.
So the very best place to go to find us is skepticmetaphysician.com. There you can find links to all the players, so you can subscribe to the show, you can listen to the show there, you can watch the videos there, you can read the blogs, everything. It's a one-stop shop. You can join our community there. There's all kinds of things that you can do on there. One of the tabs at the very top of the website is be a guest. And you can submit a guest suggestion. Whether you or anyone else can fill out that form. And then one of us will reach out and try to schedule. If it makes sense for us to connect. There have been times where we have had people apply who may have thought their topic fit, but really the only ones that understand what we're trying to do is really us and really our audience. So some folks who maybe don't listen to the show that often think we're one thing when it's really we're something else. So sometimes it won't be a good fit. So we don't accept everybody, but we do try to bring on as many people as we can, because, as you know, sometimes it's the amount of information that's out there is unfathomable. So that's probably the easiest way is to do that way. When it comes to Ethereal, we are actually in the process of finalizing the build of the first phase. We're not taking on any more content partners at this time because we're trying to focus on the cohort that we have. We have quite a few folks already that are involved, but we will be opening it up to new content partners in near future, at which point then we'll be happy to accept folks at that time, because we do feel there's going to be a lot of room for a lot of folks that want to be involved with this thing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Could you just explain a little bit more about Ethereal, your content partners, and how does it work?
So ultimately, Ethereal is going to, we actually have not launched yet. We're still working on the tech because we are building it from, well, I say we are tech persons, tech people are building it from the scratch, from out of the air. I'm so amazed with what they can do with tech. But we are looking to launch soon. And essentially, it's going to be the first phase that we'll be launching will be a streaming platform. And the content that we have on there needs to be either metaphysical nature, holistic, natural living, or just general uplifting content. We don't allow anything divisive at all, anything political at all. and
fear-based.
Yeah, nothing fear-based. We don't want to hear about hauntings unless they're happy hauntings, because there are some wonderful, beautiful hauntings, but just nothing negative. Now, a lot of the shows have healing, and sometimes in the healing process, ugly things come out. We understand that. But that's different, though. It's not just meant to evoke fear for fear's sake. So we are looking to create a place for people to come and get this content, these videos, and that's going to uplift the planet. It's going to raise the vibrations. It's going to give them hope. It's going to give them a sense of community. So that's essentially what it is. And once we get launched and get to the next phase, we'll open it up to getting more content partners. But we currently have close to 100 content partners creating for us. So we're very excited about that. It's just a wonderful community.
And YouTube is a wonderful place to get a lot of this content. However, sometimes you have to sift through 5 different cat videos before you find the video that you're looking for. So what we're trying to do is make it a one umbrella, one place where folks are looking for this particular type of content can go to Ethereal and can be assured that that's what they're going to find. They're not going to have to find or fight with demonic possession videos or ET abductions and things that are specifically created to get clicks, right? Mm-hmm. We're not about clicks. We're about helping raise the consciousness of the planet. Mm-hmm. And so if that's what you're looking for, the type of content you're looking for, then this will be a good place for you, good home for you. If you're looking for stuff that's sensationalist, then maybe YouTube is a place for you.
And ultimately, the plan is to grow and to have live events, to have offer retreats, education, yeah, e-commerce, all of that that's in this space.
See, I told you, you are growing exponentially. What I'm hearing is that this is something similar to Gaia?
Yes and no. Gaia is a wonderful platform, but Gaia does have a lot of very slickly produced content that is designed to generate a certain emotion.
Mm-hmm.
We bill ourselves as, they have the great huge people, Joe Dispenza and Greg Braden's of the world, that kind of thing. We really want to be more of an everyman place where it's just regular people going through spiritual awakenings, helping other regular people going through spiritual awakenings. So though inevitably the Greg Braden's and the Joe Dispenza's of our group will emerge on their own, we're not actively looking for celebrities to join Ethereal, because it's really just about a community of like-minded folks helping each other to grow. And that's really the biggest difference. You'll find some very slickly produced shows, content on the platform, but you're also going to find shows like ours, where it's just a couple of people speaking on a platform in a 2-box or a 3-box or something like that. We want there to be something for everybody, and we're specifically seeking that type of content out, because it's different people resonate in different ways, and we do have a lot of folks from all around the world. It's not just a U.S. based venture. We have people in Australia and the Philippines and
Indonesia, all over Europe. All over, really.
Yeah, and that's by design, because we're Americans, we don't have any illusions that we have the answers to anything right now. Anything. So this is a human solution, and so we're trying to enlist humans from across the globe.
Lovely. Thank you. Well, Will and Karen, just to wrap it up, this lovely conversation with so many insights from both of you, for which I thank you and I really appreciate it on behalf of myself and my listeners, my audience. Is there any final thought that you'd like to share with us before we close?
I guess I would just say that, you know, whether it's our podcast or someone else's or a book or a song, if there is something that opens up your heart and helps you to be more compassionate, more joyful, more loving, then by all means, pursue it 100%. Look for those little beautiful nuggets, those little miracles that we tend to call coincidences. They're out there, and help, let those guide your path.
For me, as a former skeptic, I would say that it's very easy for those of you who are out there listening to this right now and are consider yourselves to be skeptical and are trying to find your way to a place where you're a little less skeptical. I will say that it is a choice. It is a difficult choice, but a choice nonetheless. The minute that you decide to allow things to be different than the way you think they are or they're supposed to be, the sooner that you're going to find that the universe gives you that what you need to show you that you're right.
Because it's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
And so whatever it is that you believe, you're going to be 100% right. So the act of opening yourself up to the possibility is what's going to open you up to the possibility.
Absolutely. Well, beautiful, beautiful, and absolutely, I agree with you 100%. Will and Karen, thank you so very much for being on Quantum Living. It's been such a pleasure to be speaking with you. Thank you.
Well, Anna, thank you so much for inviting us. This has been a pleasure.
Thank you. That's all for today, folks. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I would much appreciate if you could spare a moment and post a review on Apple Podcasts or on my website at quantumlivingpodcast.com, where you can also read the full show notes, guest info, reviews, and more. I'm your host, Anna Anderson. I look forward to connecting with you in the next episode of Quantum Living. Until then, keep your vibrations high and be well.